I will call the Jobs and Labor Conference Committee to order. I know it's a long title, you know, it's one of the long things. So we are excited that this is our first hearing. And just to kind of give you a roadmap, and I did have an opportunity to talk this over with Representative Hassan, is that today our plans are to go through same and similar, kind of get a sense of that, and staff will go through that both with the fiscal side as well as the language side of it, and they kind of work that out, and they will have an opportunity to do that. And then tomorrow, it looks like we're going to try to gather at 8:30 to 10:30, and it's my understanding that's what we'll hope to hear, you know, from the labor side of the equation, and it's my understanding that they have a labor meeting that's probably scheduled for later that morning, so we'll come in and kind of get a sense from them as to what they want to do, and then we'll probably recess and then come back, and we'll sort of figure that out just based on time and if there's any additional business that needs to happen. Then we're thinking maybe on Wednesday is where we'll also get some testimony and we will sort of talk about what that testimony might look like. And so that is what we are planning to do. To start things off, I think it would be important for us to introduce ourselves. You know, anything that you want to tell us, but don't give us, like, too much about yourself, right? But we certainly want to know enough in order just to know who you are, what district that you're from, and anything that you want us to know. And I think it would be appropriate to start off with the co-convener, which is Representative Hassan, to start us off with her introduction. Any words that she wants us to know?
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Auden Hassan, representing District 62B in South Minneapolis. The senator said, don't share too much, so I won't. It's great to be here, and it's great to be your co-convener, and I'm looking forward to the conversations ahead. Thank you.
And then,
Hi, everyone. Travis Reese, committee administrator in the House. I cover the Workforce Development Committee with Chair Zhang, the Economic Development Committee with Chair Hassan, and the Labor and Industry Committee with Chair Nelson, and I'm happy to be here with you all.
Anna Shaleen, House Research.
Yeah, I'm Jay Song, Vice Chair of Workforce Committee. Proudly represent the Southeast Corner of City of St. Paul.
Liz Olson, and I chair the House Ways and Means Committee, and I represent half of Duluth.
Representative Nelson, I chair the Labor and Industry Committee, and I 38A, which is basically the southern and western part of Brooklyn Park.
Kayla Berg, I'm the Vice Chair of Labor. I represent 55B, which is part of Burnsville.
I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff, and I cover the labor portion.
Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff, and I cover the Economic Development Committee for the House.
Ashley Eyeing, House Fiscal Staff, I cover Workforce.
David Sullivan with House DFL Research.
Danny. My name is Alexis Varner, and I'm the CLA for Senator Champion and the Jobs and Economic Development Committee.
I'm Senator Grant Hochschild. I represent District 3, which is the entire Arrowhead region.
I'm Senator Jen McEwen. I represent Duluth in the State Senate, and I am the Chair of the Labor Committee in the Senate.
I'm Senator Sina Mohammed. I represent District 63 in South Minneapolis.
Danny Gillis, Senate DFL Research for the Jobs and Labor Committees.
I'm Eric Olson, Senate Fiscal Staff for the Labor Committee.
I'm Hannah Grunwald-Milner, Senate Fiscal Staff for the Jobs Committee.
I'm Carlin Doyle Fontaine. I am counsel for labor and jobs.
Tom Melton. I'm the committee administrator for the Senate Jobs Committee.
And I am Bobby Joe Champion. I represent Senate District 59, which is comprised of North Minneapolis, the North Loop, downtown, a portion of Northeast, and I don't think I'm forgetting anyone, because I'm so used to saying Bryn Mawr, but Bryn Mawr is no longer in my district after being redistricted. So thank you all, welcome again, and I hope that we didn't forget anyone. Did we forget anyone or anything?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Again, Travis Reese. Just a little bit of housekeeping for the Senate side. Consider that the mics are on all the time, and then when you want to mute them, there's the tiny button there. So we're opposite of what you're used to in your hearing rooms. So just a reminder, that's what it's for.
But in the event that you want us to know everything that you're thinking, just keep talking, and we'll we'll certainly hear it all. So thank you, Travis, for that information. We said that we would go on to a walkthrough, and so I'll turn it over. Am I turning it over to which one of you?
Mr. Chair and members, whatever your preference would be, if you'd like Senate Fiscal Staff to go through the spreadsheet first or Council.
Mr. Chair, we're still waiting for some language side-by-side, so if you want to start with the spreadsheet walkthrough, that would be probably better until we get those copies.
All right. Sounds good. Ms. Nona.
Mr. Chair and members, so I'll start off walking through the spreadsheet. You will have two separate spreadsheets in your packets. One is a more detailed look at the budget, so it's going to show base items and the entire budget along with the change from over base. And then there's another spreadsheet that is showing just change items and not base items. So we're just looking at the change over base. And the ones that fiscal staff will be working off of today is the change only spreadsheet. So that should be labeled in the top right-hand corner, 4/30/2023. 8:19 p.m. And in the subheadings, you'll see all funds with change items only on each of those titles, just to make sure everybody's looking at the right spreadsheet. So these spreadsheets show both the jobs and labor positions of Senate File 3035 and the respective Senate and House positions. On each, the detail and the change only spreadsheet, the very first page is an all funds summary of both jobs and labor positions combined, just so members can see the overall impact to each fund that is involved in this bill. So I'll just walk through briefly how this is structured on the first page. Beginning on line 3, there's an all funds new expenditures summary of change items only. So there's a general fund line, a workforce development fund line, a special revenue fund, workers' compensation fund, and construction code fund. Lines 9 through 14 are showing any revenue changes within the Senate File 3035. And then lines 15 through 20 are showing the fund's net total once revenues are taken into consideration. So I'll just walk through those briefly. On line 16 for general fund, the Senate position has $996.3 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $37.81 million in fiscal year 26-27. And the House has $998 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $38.678 million in fiscal year 26-27. On line 17, the Workforce Development Fund has $967.12 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $21 million in fiscal year 26-27. And in fiscal year 24-25 on the House side, $946.16 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $22.65 million in fiscal year 26-27. For Workers' Compensation Fund, the Senate side has $15.8 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $18 million in the tails. The House has $17.56 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $19.8 million in the tails. On line 20, the Construction Code Fund has $913,000 in 24-25 and $104,000 in the tails for the Senate. And for the House, $959,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $150,000 in the tails. So I'll turn to the next page, which starts the jobs portion of Senate File 3035. And this page is just a summary of what's included on the jobs side of the Senate committee and the Workforce and Economic Development committees in the House. So on line 3, you can see the general fund changes. Below this are all of the agencies within within Senate File 3035 that correspond with jobs. So there's Department of Employment and Economic Development, Destination Medical Center, Explore Minnesota Tourism, Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, Public Facilities Authority, Department Administration, Department of Management and Budget, Department of Corrections, and Capital Area Architecture and Planning Board. And I'll just state that the overall change items, back to line 3, for the Senate position is $990 million in fiscal year 24-25, $33 million in the tails, and the House has that same amount, so $990 million in fiscal year 24-25, and $33 million in the tails. And I'll just point to line 14 and 15, just bringing back in base items here so that we can see what the entire budget looks like. Even though the rest of the spreadsheet is just showing change items, we thought it might be helpful for members to get a quick glance at what the budget overall looks like with those change items in there. Lines 19 through 26 are showing the three different targets that compose the $990 million bill. So just a quick review. For workforce development, there's a $240 million target in fiscal year 24-25, $18 million in the tails. And for economic development, there's a $250 million target in the first biennium and $15 million in the tails. And then for federal economic development matching, there was a one-time $500 million target in fiscal year 2024. Then lines 29 through 33 show the workforce development fund changes within the jobs portion of the bill. So on line 29, the Senate has $2.2 million coming out of the Workforce Development Fund in fiscal year 24-25 and $108,000 in the tails. The House has $2.9 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $8.256 million in the tails. And again, on lines 32 and 33, the fiscal staff brought in the base amount and then shows the base amount plus the change items just to show the entire budget for Workforce Development Fund. So page 3 starts the detail portion of the bill. I'll turn it over to Mr. Savory.
Chair and members, once again, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. I'll be going over primarily the business and community development portion of the bill. This is the division of D. The rest of the other portions were in the Workforce Committee in the House. But we'll be talking through both Senate and House positions. Line 39 is the total appropriation for DEED, with the Senate being at $969,386,000, and then tails of $21,108,000. The House on the right-hand columns being $949,120,000 and $30,908,000 in the tails. We'll just skip over the next handful of lines just because they are duplicated below. And skip to line 47, which is the total for business community development. The Senate is appropriating $727,120,000 and $3 million in the tails. And additional changes for the House are $746,920,000 with $13,508,000 in the tails. Moving down further, line 53 is the direct appropriations from the general fund. And those are identical to the ones we saw on line 47. So I'll begin by going through the various change item appropriations for business and community development, beginning on line 55. The Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Program, a Senate-only item of $500,000 each fiscal year, and that occurs in 24 and 25, as well as the tails. Line 57 is the Small Business Development Center support. This is an identical item between House and Senate. It is $500,000 in each fiscal year and occurs both in 24 and 25 and in the tails. Line 59 is a Senate-only provision, which is Launch Minnesota, an increase of $6 million. And then line 64, a carve-out or a specification for MNSBIR of that $3 million each year, but one time. And then line 65 is the corresponding change that the House is carrying for MNSBIR of $3 million in FY24-25 one time. Line 66 is the Expanding Opportunity Fund, a Senate provision of $35,296,000 in FY24.
And may I make one a brief interruption? I need to go back to Ms. Nona because there's a correction that needs to be made from on the first sheet, and I think it's important for us to identify it now. Ms. Nona?
Mr. Chair, members, a quick clarification for the Workforce Development Fund line on the very first page. Line 17 should match line 5, so it shouldn't be $900 million from the Workforce Development Fund, as I stated before. So it should be the same amount on line 5. And just so members are clear on that, so if anybody was confused hearing those numbers, we wanted to clear it up.
And before we go back, and thank you so much for allowing us to interrupt, I do want to recognize that we do have the temporary commissioner that's here from Deed. Commissioner McKinnon is also with us. And I think Ms. Bennett Magenti is here from Explore Minnesota. So I just think it's important to identify her. And then I think we have someone representing from the IRRRB as well. And then also Labor and Industry is with us as well. So I just wanted to make sure I was respectful and at least identify that you're in the room listening very intensely, right? To the testifier.
Thank you, Chair and members. Continuing the walkthrough on line 67, this is a Senate-only provision of $150 million for the Minnesota Forward Fund. That's the identical amount as requested by the governor. Line 68 is a designation for federal matching funds. This occurs in the House columns on the right-hand side, $400 million for that purpose, of which on line 69, $100 million is for the Campus for Biomanufacturing. Line 71, a $300 million set aside for microelectronic manufacturing facilities. Line 72 are Senate provision items, which is the BioMade federal matching dollars of $100 million in FY24. Line 73, CHIPS and Science account for federal matching dollars of $250 million. Line 74 is the Small Business Partnership. The Senate has appropriations of $15 million in 24 and 25, but one time. The House is carrying appropriations of $10 million in 24 and 25, and additional appropriations in FY26-27 of $6,508,000. Line 77 is the Community Energy Transition Grant Program. Both the House and Senate carry it, but it is slightly different. The Senate carries that provision at $5 million for the biennium at 24-25, and the House is carrying at $10 million for 24-25. Line 78 is the Center for Rural Policy and Development, their general fund appropriation. Senate is positioned as $100,000 each fiscal year, so $200,000 in 24-25, and the House position is $500,000. 24-25. Line 81 are identical appropriations from the House and Senate, both of $10 million for the local community child care that occurs only one time within 24 and 25. Line 82 is another identical appropriation for the Office of Child Care and Community Partnerships of $500,000 each fiscal year, and that occurs in the tails as well. Line 83 is the Child Care Industry Research, the designation from the Office of Child Care and Community Partnerships, another identical provision of a set aside of $50,000 in each fiscal year. Line 84 is an identical provision, but done slightly differently between House and Senate for the Child Care and Minnesota Initiative Foundations. The Senate provides $5 million in FY24, and the House provides the same $5 million, but splits it between FY24 and FY25. Neither position has a tails allocation. Line 90 is the Redevelopment Grant Program, a Senate-only position of $4 million. Line 97 is the Promise Act grants of $60 million one time. That's a Senate-only provision. There are several designations within that. Line 98 being the Minnesota Initiative Foundations at $13 million for the biennium. And then flipping the page to page number 4, starting again on line 99, is $21 million set aside of that larger amount for NDC North Minneapolis of $21 million. And then the same NDC, but specifically for South Minneapolis at $13 million. And the same item NDC, but for St. Paul at $13 million. And then on line 102 is the Promise Act loans, which is Senate-only provision of $40 million, with designations for the Minnesota Initiative Foundation of $8 million, and MEDA North Minneapolis of $16 million, MEDA South Minneapolis of $8 million, and MEDA of St. Paul for $8 million. So those designations are one time. Line 107 is a House provision for the Empowering Enterprise Program. The total allocation for that is $125,868,000. That occurs one time. Line 108 is a designation within that for specific areas or groups. The first one being the City of Minneapolis for $62 million. Next one on line 109 for the City of St. Paul for $22 million. Line 110, the NEON organization of $10,850,000. Below that, line 111, the Lake Street Council of $10,850,000. And then additionally on line 112, the Midway Chamber of Commerce, again, $10,850,000. And then line 113, the Asian Economic Development Association of $500,000, all those occurring one time. Line 114 is a House-only provision for the Small Business Navigators of $2.5 million in FY24-25 and then $2 million in FY26 and 27. There's additional designation for digital navigation improvements, which is $500,000 each year. Line 116 is a House provision for the Community Wealth Building Grants. It is $3 million in FY24-25 and the identical amount in the tails of $3 million. Line 19 is an identical appropriation from both House and Senate. It's for the Expo 2027 support for the City of Bloomington Port Authority of $5 million in FY24, and both appropriations are identical. Line 120 is the Neighborhood Development Center, or NDC. House and Senate have identical appropriations, but they are appropriated slightly differently. The Senate position has $5 million in FY24, and the House position has a split between FY24 and 25, with $4 million being in the first year and $1 million being in the second year. Line 121, the NDC Small Business Programs, at the designation within the above NDC appropriation. The Senate has carve-outs or designations of $4.2 million in FY24 for small business programs, and the House has designations of $1.5 million in FY24-25. Line 122 is the non-metro technical assistance for NDC. The Senate is carrying an $800,000 line item for that particular appropriation, and the House has $500,000 for that designation. Line 123 is a House-only designation for non-commercial space development of $1 million in the first year only. And then the same for 124, House-only character-based lending of $2 million designation only in FY24. Line 125 is a targeted community capital project grant program of $10 million, a House-only provision. Line 126 is the Emerging Developer Fund. Both House and Senate carry this provision, but they differ in amounts. The Senate is carrying the item in FY24 of $2.650 million, and the House has a provision of $13,550,000. Both are only in the first year, making it one time. Line 127 is the Canadian Border Counties Relief Program. This is a similar item between House and Senate. The Senate carries at a slightly higher amount of $5 million in FY24, and the House is a differing amount of $4 million in FY24. Specifically on line 128, the Tribal Economic Development, this is a House-only provision, which is a carve-out, a designation of the Canadian Border Counties Relief Program of $1 million, only occurring in 24. Similarly, the Senate is carrying this provision for the Northwest Angle Lake of the Woods Relief, which is $2.1 million, again, out of the Canadian Border Appropriation. Moving down again to line 130 is the African Economic Development Solutions appropriation. House and Senate have similar amounts, with the Senate carrying the item at $1.5 million split between 2 years, and the House is carrying $2 million, but only allocations for FY24. On line 131 is the Senate position for loan fund entrepreneurs of $1 million out of the African Economic Development Solutions appropriations in only FY24. And then line 132 is workforce development and technical assistance of $500,000 in the 24-25 biennium of the Development Solutions appropriation. Line 133 is the Latino Economic Development Center. Both House and Senate carry this provision, but differ slightly. The Senate carries that at $500,000 each year for $1 million for the biennium, but only one time. And the House has a similar one-time appropriation, but only in FY24, but it is $3 million. Additionally, the line 134 and 135, the House has several carve-outs for micro-entrepreneur assistance as well as general entrepreneur assistance. Those are both occur in just the first year in FY24 at $1.5 million each time. And chair and members, that concludes page four. We can flip over to page five, which continues this division of deed. Line 136 is the Community and Economic Development Associates. This is an identical item between House and Senate of $627,000. Line 137 is a similar appropriation between House and Senate. It's for Women Venture Organization. The Senate carries that at $3 million, split equally between the two fiscal years, one time. And then the House carries that item at $1 million only in FY24. Line 138 is the African Career Education Resource Incorporated, House-only item of $2 million in only FY24. Line 139 is the African Development Center, a House-only item at $4 million. There are several designations for that, being loans for commercial real estate at $2.8 million, loan loss reserve funds at $364,000, and then capacity building at $836,000, all those occurring in the first year. Line 143 is the Innovation Foundations, an identical appropriation between House and Senate at $6 million, occurring only in FY24. Line 144 is the various items that are appropriate from the Innovation Foundations. I'll just go through those quickly. They all receive $1 million. That would be Southwest, West Central, Southern Minnesota, Northwest Minnesota, the Initiative Foundation, and the Northland Foundation, all receiving $1 million of the $6 million. Line 150 is the Enterprise Minnesota Small Business Growth Acceleration. This is an identical appropriation for House and Senate, but done slightly differently. The Senate appropriates $1 million only in FY24, and the House has that appropriation split equally, $500,000 a year between 24 and 25. Line 151 is the PFUN Foundation. An identical appropriation between House and Senate of $750,000 one time. Line 152 is quorum. That is $250,000, an identical appropriation between 24 and 25, identical. Line 153 is the Metropolitan Economic Development Association. A similar appropriation between House and Senate. The Senate position is $5 million, and the House position is $7.5 million. There are several designated carve-outs for that purpose, line 154 being the revolving loan fund of $3 million. The House has that at $5 million. Line 155 for operating support. The Senate carries that at $2 million, and the House carries that at $2.5 million. Line 156 is the Minnesota-based automotive component manufacturer, the Senate-only item of $5 million. It is a one-time appropriation. Line 157 is for the Taste of Minnesota organization, $1,847,000 occurring only in FY24-25, so one time. Line 158 is the Latino Chamber of Commerce, House-only item, $250,000 one time. Line 159 is the South St. Paul American Legion site repurposing appropriation, a House-only item, $175,000 occurring only in FY24. Line 160 is for the Latino Lead Organization, House only at $250,000 in FY24. And line 161 is the Neighborhood Development Center Small Business Grant. of $200,000 only occurring in the first year, FY24. Line 162 is the Local Initiative Support Corporation, another House-only item, $2 million in FY24, $1 million in FY25, for a total of $3 million in FY24-25. Those are one-time appropriations. Of the designated carve-outs for that purpose, $200,000 in the first year and $100,000 in the second years for pre-development grants, and then additionally, establishment of a loan program of $2.7 million for the Local Initiative Support Corporation. Line 165 is the Center for Economic Inclusion. This on the Senate side is carried in the workforce area, so C line 230 for more information on that. The House carries it in a different location of the bill, being $5.5 million in FY24 one time. And then there are two transfer items remaining, which are House-only items totaling $100 million. Line 174 is the Minnesota State Competitiveness Fund, and line 175 is for task force support of $25 million, which is the Climate Innovation Finance Authority related to the climate and energy bill. And Mr. Chair, that concludes the BCD appropriations. I would turn to my colleague, Ms. Eng, to continue on page 6.
Mr. Chair and members, Ashley Eng, House Fiscal. This, I will cover the Employment and Training Division of DEED. This was under the purview of the Workforce Committee in the House. Starting on line 194, the total appropriations in fiscal year 24 and 25 on the Senate was $191,296,000 and $5,110,000 in the tails. For the House, it was $163,900,000 in fiscal year 24 and 25 and $5,400,000 in the tails. Looking down at line 199, the total direct appropriations from the general fund on the Senate position is $189,910,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $5,110,000 in the tails. For the House, there was $160,944,000 in fiscal year 24-25. And, this is change only. So there's a negative impact of $2,856,000 in the tails for the House position. Starting on line 201, this is a Senate-only position of $10 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Return to Work program. On line 202, there is the Targeted Population Workforce Program. The Senate position has $49,808,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and then $2,368,000 in the tails, while the House has $60 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $5 million in the tails. There are some designations under this program on line 203 of $35 million from the Senate position and $44 million on the House position in fiscal year 24-25 for the Entrepreneur Skill Training. On line 204, there is the designation for Diversity Inclusion Training of $3,400,000 on the Senate side and $4 million on the House side in fiscal year 24-25. There is the capacity building grants of $11,408,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for the Senate and $12 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the House. On line 207, there's the Drive for Five Workforce Fund. This was a governor's recommendation. On the Senate position, there is $30 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $15 million on the House position in fiscal year 24-25. Of this amount, on line 208, $20 million on the Senate position in fiscal year 24-25 and $10 million on the House position in fiscal year 24-25 is for education and training. And then of that amount, $6,500,000 from the Senate position, and then $3,250,000 on the House position is for job placement services. And on line 210, there is $3,500,000 from the Senate position in fiscal year 24-25, and then $1,750,000 from the House position in 24-25 for the business for services reps. On line 211, this was moved from the general fund to the workforce development fund, so there's a negative impact on the House position in the tails of $5,092,000. On line 212, the Southeast Asian communities, this was moved from the general fund to the workforce development fund, so there's a negative impact on the general fund of $2 million in the tails, the House position. And looking at line 215, there is the new Youth at Work Competitive Grant Program funding of $8,960,000 on the Senate position and $6,704,000 in the House position in fiscal years 24 and 25. On line 216, there is $2,186,000 on the House side in fiscal year 24-25 for youth build. On line 217, there is $9,022,000 in fiscal year 24-25 from the Senate and $8,854,000 on the House for the Minnesota Youth Program. On line 218, there is $1,500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 from the Senate and $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for the Office of New Americans. On line 218, there is $2 million in the Senate position on fiscal years 24-25 and $2 million in the House in fiscal year 24-25 for the Minnesota Technology Association, SciTech. On line 220, there is $1,500,000 in the Senate position and $1,500,000 on the House position for Teen Teamworks. This was fiscal year 24-25. On line 221, there is $1,800,000 in the Senate position and $1,400,000 in the House position for Avivo. And of that amount, in the Senate position, there's $500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for the Survivor Employment Readiness Pilot Project. On line 223, there is $2 million in the Senate position and $1 million in the House position in fiscal year 24-25 for Getting to Work. On line 224, there's $750,000 in the Senate position and $800,000 in the House position for 30,000 feet. This is for fiscal year 24-25. On line 225, there is $463,000 on the Senate position in fiscal year 24 for Boys and Girls Club of Central Minnesota. And then there's an identical on line 226, the appropriations are identical between House and Senate of $2 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Alliance of Boys and Girls Clubs. On line 227, there is $1,050,000 in fiscal year 24 for the Owatonna Learn to Earn program. That is a Senate-only position. And on line 228, there is $500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $800,000 from the Senate, and then $800,000 in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for the White Bear Center for the Arts. On 229, there is $1,892,000 in fiscal year 24 and then $892,000 in the tails on the Senate position, and then $500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for the Minnesota Family Resiliency Program. On line 230, this was discussed earlier in the House position, and this is the Senate positions of $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Center for Economic Inclusion. On line 231, there is $1,200,000 on both Senate and House position in fiscal year 24-25 for the Eastside neighborhood. And then of that amount, $600,000 in the fiscal year 24-25 for both Senate and House for the Senior Community Services. And then of that amount, looking on page 7, on line 233, $600,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for Nursing Assistance Plus. On line 234, there is $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Senate, and then $2,500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for the House for Ujamaa Place. On line 235, there is $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Senate, and that's a Senate-only position for COPAL. On line 236, there is $6 million on the Senate position for fiscal year 24-25 and $3,500,000 in the House position for Propel Nonprofits. On line 237, there is $2 million for both the House and the Senate in fiscal year 24-25 for the Father Project. On line 238, there is $250,000 in fiscal year 24 and $400,000 from the Senate, and then $400,000 in fiscal year 24 from the House for ProStart. On 239, there is $1,850,000 in fiscal year 24-25 from the Senate, and then $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for MDI. And then there is an additional appropriation on the House or on the Senate side of $1 million in fiscal year 24 for career skills for MDI. Looking at line 241, there is $2,350,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and for the Senate, and then $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for Summit Academy OIC. On line 242, this is matching $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 from the Senate and $1 million fiscal year 24-25 from the House for MICC. This is on line 243, that's a House-only position of $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Clean Economy Equitable Workforce. And this is a Senate-only position on line 244. There is $275,000 in fiscal year 24-25. And $50,000 in the TAILS for the online hospitality training program. On line 245, there's $3 million from the Senate in fiscal year 24, and then $1,400,000 in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for the robotics team and STEM internships. On line 246, there is $1,500,000 in fiscal year 24 from the Senate, and $3 million in fiscal year 24-25 from the House for the Sane Foundation. On line 247, this is an identical appropriation of $2 million in fiscal year 24-25 between the House and the Senate for the Hmong American Partnership. On line 248, there's $2 million in the Senate position for fiscal year 24-25 and $3 million in the House position in 24-25 for CLUES. On line 249, this is a Senate-only position of $600,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for AllSquare. This is an identical appropriation between the House and the Senate of $2 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Redemption Project. Line 251 is a House-only appropriation of $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Greater Twin Cities United Way. On line 252, this is a Senate-only for $6 million in fiscal year 24-25 for CAP of Hennepin County. Of that amount, on line 253, there's $3 million for 21 days of peace in fiscal year 24-25, and on line 254, there is $3 million for A Mother's Love in fiscal year 24-25. There is another Senate-only position on line 255 of $1,500,000 in fiscal, for Mind the Gap. There's an identical appropriation between the House and the Senate on line 256 of $1,100,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for the International Institute. There's an identical appropriation on line 257 between the House and the Senate of $800,000 in fiscal year 24-25 for hired. There's an identical appropriation on 258 of $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for American Indian OIC. There is a House-only position on line 259 of $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Hmong Chamber of Commerce. On line 260, there is $550,000 in the Senate position, fiscal year 24-25, and $600,000 in the House position in 24-25 for Owatonna and Steele County workforce. On line 261, there is $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Black Women's Wealth Alliance in the Senate only. On line 262, there's $500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 on the Senate side for Abijas on the back side. On line 263, this is a House-only position of $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 for the Ramsey County Milestone Program. And on line 264, there is $1 million in the House-only position of fiscal year 24-25 for the Ramsey County Pathway Program. This is an identical appropriation on line 265 of $400,000 in fiscal year 24-25. Oh, no, it's not. Okay, there's $400,000 in the Senate position in fiscal year 24-25 and $800,000 in the House position in 24-25 for the social kitchen. On line 266, there is $200,000 in fiscal year 24-25 in the Senate position and $200,000 in fiscal year 24-25 on the House for the Minnesota Grocers Association. And on line 267, there's $1,400,000 in the Senate position and $2 million in the House for fiscal year 24-25 for Twin Cities Rise.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll pick it up on page 8. So on the top of the page, line 268, the Senate-only position for Twin Cities Rise increasing capacity at $1 million in the first biennium. Bridges to Healthcare, both Senate and House have similar or the same appropriation of $1.5 million one time. Big Brothers and Big Sisters, both Senate and House have one-time appropriations of $1 million. For Youth Prize, the Senate has $3 million in one-time funding, and the House has $6 million in one-time funding. On line 272, a House-only carve-out of Youth Prize for CA Jog of $3 million in fiscal year 24-25. For Minnesota YWCA Minneapolis, both Senate and House have one-time funding of $700,000. Line 274 for Emerge, both Senate and House have identical appropriations of $1 million in one-time funding. For Better Futures, the Senate has $850,000 in one-time funding in the first biennium, and the House has $900,000 in one-time funding. For Pillsbury United Communities, both the Senate and the House have identical appropriations of $1 million in one-time funding. Line 277 for Project for Pride in Living, both the Senate and House have the same appropriation of $1 million in one-time funding. For the YMCA of the North, both Senate and House have the same appropriation of $600,000 in one-time funding. Line 279 is a Senate-only appropriation for Al Maun of $1 million in one-time funding. Another Senate-only provision on line 280 for CARO of $1 million in fiscal year 24-25. On line 281, both the Senate and House have appropriations for the African Immigrant Workforce Grants. The Senate has one-time funding of $1 million, and the House has $2 million in funding in fiscal year 24-25 and $400,000 in ongoing funding. For the Stair Step Foundation, the Senate has a one-time funding of $540,000. For the Senate on 283, in this portion of the bill, the Senate is carrying $800,000 for Building Strong Communities.
And on the House side, this provision is carried in the labor spreadsheet, which will be touched on later. Line 284 for prevailing wage, Senate-only provision of $300,000 in fiscal year 24-25, and the same amount ongoing in the tails. Line 285, another Senate-only provision of $500,000 in fiscal year 24-25. And then another Senate-only provision for Task Force on Youth Interventions of $500,000 in one-time funding. Moving to the Workforce Development Fund, under on line 301, the House has moved some of the general fund funding for pathways to, or, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Ng, if the tails here in the House is moving from general fund to workforce development fund, or if that's an increase over base for the House position. But that is $5 million in fiscal year 26-27. And on line 324 for Southeast Asian communities, in the House position, there's a $2 million increase in the tails. For women non-traditional jobs grants, the House has an increase of $1.1 million in the tails. On line 327 for the new Youth at Work competitive grant program, the House has a $2.2 million increase in fiscal year 24-25. On line 328 for Youth Build, the Senate has a $2.186 million increase in fiscal year 24-25. And on line 347, the House has a one-time appropriation from the Workforce Development Fund of $700,000 for the Southwest Initiative Foundation. So that wraps up the workforce and training part of DEED. Moving on to General Support Services Division of DEED on line 363. There are two funds shown here. So the total on 363 is both General Fund and Workforce Development Fund. The Senate has $18.08 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $108,000 in the tails. The House has $17 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $7 million in the tails. I'll move to the next page. On line 371, the Senate has an operating increase of one-time general fund appropriation of $8 million. And the House has the operating increase at $7 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $7 million ongoing. On line 372 for the Workforce Digital Transformation, the Senate has a one-time appropriation of $10 million, and the House has the same amount. And then on line 376, the Senate increased operating increase for Workforce Development Fund of $80,000 in the first biennium and $108,000 in the tails. On line 378, the Minnesota Trade Office is included in the base, so there's no changes shown here in Senate File 3035. Line 385 for Vocational Rehabilitation Services, general fund only under this division, and under fiscal year 24-25 for the Senate, it's a $24.89 million increase and $8.89 million in the tails. For the House, an increase of $11.3 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $5 million in the tails. And these appropriations start on line 393. So for extended employment services, new provider rate increases, both the Senate and the House have an identical amount here of $5 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $5 million ongoing. For employer support for persons with mental illness, there's a program increase in both positions in the Senate. There's a $7.89 million increase in 24-25 and $3.89 ongoing. In the House position, it's a one-time increase of $4.5 million in fiscal 24-25. On line 397 for the Centers for Independent Living, the Senate has an increase of $12 million in fiscal 24-25. And the House has a one-time increase of $1.8 million in fiscal 24-25. On line 404, for the state services for the blind, total change here in general fund for the Senate is $8 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $4 million ongoing. The House has a one-time appropriation total of $10 million in fiscal year 24-25, and this is split between for the Senate, for state services, for the blind expansion of $4 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $4 million ongoing, and the House has this amount at $5 million. Then for the Employer Reasonable Accommodation Program, the Senate has one-time funding of $4 million in fiscal year 24-25, and the House has this at $5 million. So that wraps up the deed portion of the bill. The next agency would be Explore Minnesota Tourism, which falls under the economic development target. So beginning on line 415, the all fund total here for the Senate is $17.8 million increase in fiscal year 24-25 and $6.7 million in the tails. The House all fund total for Explore Minnesota Tourism is $19.37 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $2.19 million ongoing. And I will turn to the next page to break down the appropriations. Beginning on line 423, the development of an Office of Economic Promotion, the Senate has a one-time appropriation of $11.5 million in fiscal year 24-25. On line 424, both the Senate and House are increasing appropriations for maintaining current service levels. And actually, both of the Senate and House positions are identical here, $4.63 million in fiscal year 24-25. And $1.49 million ongoing. On line 425, a House-only provision of $11.8 million for making Minnesota a top 10 destination. And there's a few carve-outs here. Of that $11.8 million, $6 million is for large-scale sporting and major events. $2.2 million is for tribal nations. $2 million is for diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. $1.25 million is for governor's opener events. $176,000 is for increasing engagement. And $174,000 is for tourism sustainability plan. And again, those carve-outs are one time. On line 432, the Senate-only provision has a tail increase for building admin capacity, a total of $4.5 million ongoing, beginning in the tails. On line 433, the Senate-only provision for Grand Portage grant of $250,000 one time. Senate-only provision on line 434 of $500,000 for marketing and promotion of cultural events and venues. And then a House-only provision on line 435 of $2 million in fiscal year 2024 for tourism industry recovery grants. And at this point, I'll turn it back over to Ms. Eng for wrapping up the rest of the spreadsheet.
So the following appropriations are to different agencies that aren't traditionally under the purview of the Workforce and Economic Development Committees, but were included in this bill. There is to the Department of Corrections on line 437. There is $7 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $600,000 in the tails. On line 439, there is $4,500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 on the House side and $400,000 in the tails for the instruction and employment partnerships. And on line 440, there is $2,500,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $200,000 in the tails for work release education. On line 442, there is $2,256,000 in fiscal year 24-25 to the Minnesota Management and Budget and the same amount ongoing. This is for the line 444, the Minnesota Family Resiliency Partnership funding. Then on line 446, there is $6 million in fiscal year 24-25 and ongoing in both the House and Senate positions. And this is for line 449, the Destination Medical Center statutory increase. There's no changes to the IRRR or the Public Facilities Authority. So going down to page 11 on line 461, there is $10 million in fiscal year 24 on the House side, and this is for line 463, $5 million in fiscal year 24 for the Capital Area Community Vitality Task Force account, and then line 464, $5 million in fiscal year 24 in the House for the Capital Area Transportation Corridors. Then finally, on line 466, there's an appropriation on the House position to the Capital Area Architecture and Planning Board on line 468 of $150,000 in fiscal year 24 for task force support. And that concludes the jobs portion of the walkthrough.
All right, thank you so very much. Is there anything else that we're missing? Are you okay on the fiscal side, or is there something else that you just wanted to hear?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would be happy to begin the labor portion of the spreadsheet.
Please.
Beginning on page 12, so for the Department of Labor and Industry, looking at the line 12, this starts, we will begin with the Workers' Compensation Division. So for the 24-25 biennium, this is coming from the Workers' Compensation Fund. It's $1,081,000 in the 24-25 biennium for the Senate, and $1,450,000 in the tails. This is identical for the House position. On line 13, for the Technology Services Reorganization, this is also coming from the Workers' Compensation Fund. It's $6,070,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and $6,236,000 in the 26-27 biennium. This is also identical appropriation for the House. So for a total new above base spending from the Workers' Compensation Fund of $7,151,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and $7,686,000 in the 26-27 biennium. For workforce development initiatives, this is coming from the Workforce Development Fund, looking at line 17. It's $1,530,000 from the Workforce Development Fund in the 24-25 biennium, and $1,542,000 in the 26-27 biennium. The Senate and the House are identical. On line 18, for the Career Pathways Program, this is a transfer to the Minnesota Department of Education on the Senate side. The House has this within their apprenticeship division. It's a $300,000 Senate-only transfer here from the Workforce Development Fund in fiscal year 24. For a total Workforce Development Fund from the Senate of approximately $1.8 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $1.5 million in 26-27, and then the difference of $300,000 in 24-25 biennium. So the House appropriates $1.53 million in 24-25 and identical $1.542 million in 26-27. And with that, I'll hand it over to Ms. Roberts to start the labor standards portion of DLA.
Mr. Chair, members, and we're going to be jumping back and forth a little bit. If you look on line 22, starting the Labor Standards Division, this is general fund spending, the first items. The first one is the maintain current service levels. The slight difference in fiscal year 24 and 25, the Senate has it at $393,000, the House at $407,000, and then they're identical in the tails at $492,000. On the next line, the House and Senate are identical for the WESA, Women's Economic Security Act Outreach, at $476,000 in the 24-25, and then $484,000 in the tails. Moving on to the next line, 24, again, the House and Senate are identical for funding the improving the safety of agricultural and food processing workers at $326,000 in fiscal year 24-25, and $284,000 in the tails. On line 25, this is a House-only provision, $50,000 in one-time funding for education and outreach for the Safe and Skilled Workers Act. On line 26, both the House and Senate have funded the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board. There is a slight difference in the funding with the Senate at just over $1 million in fiscal year 24-25 and the House at $963,000. And then you can see, again, there's a slight difference in the tails. On line 27, the Senate only has $69,000 that would go to Department of Human Services related to the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board, and this is in the tails. On line 28, again, a House-only provision, $27,000 one time for a workforce poster for veterans' benefits. And then on line 29, another identical provision of funding for safe workplaces for meat and poultry processing workers, and that's at $394,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $338,000 in the tails. And then the next provisions are Senate provisions.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. So for those Senate provisions on line 30, the Senate-only provision is a transfer to the Attorney General's office of $383,000 in 24-25 and $276,000 in 26-27. This is for enforcement of the bill. On line 31, there's administration fees for the qualifying damages tax subtraction. This is a transfer to the Department of Revenue of $84,000 in 24-25 and $50,000 in 26-27. Again, this is Senate only. On line 32, for the Construction Worker Wage Protection Program for enforcement, another transfer to the Attorney General's office of $150,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $150,000 in the 26-27 biennium. Again, that's a Senate-only provision. So for a total labor standards general fund appropriation on the Senate side of approximately $3.2 million in the 24-25 biennium, and $2.9 million in the 26-27 biennium, and on the House side of approximately $2,643,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and $2,242,000 in the 26-27 biennium. And then to briefly talk about the Workforce Development Fund appropriations within labor standards, looking at line 35, for prevailing wage, education, and compliance, the House and Senate align of $2,896,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $2,968,000 in the 26-27 biennium. For an operating adjustment to maintain current service levels from the Workforce Development Fund, both the House and the Senate appropriated $180,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $242,000 in the 26-27 biennium. And then for a transfer to the new apprenticeship division from the Workforce Development Fund to the apprenticeship division, it's a transfer of approximately $2,722,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $2,784,000 in the 26-27 biennium. Those are identical provisions between the House and the Senate. So for a total shift or above base spending in the Workforce Development Fund in the Labor Standards Division of $354,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $426,000 in the 26-27 biennium. And with that, I'll hand it back to Ms. Roberts to discuss the Apprenticeship Division.
Mr. Chair, members, beginning on line 42, you'll see again the new division, which is funded from the Workforce Development Fund. So on line 41, there's that transfer in. On line 42, the House and Senate both expand funding for the LEAP grants. There is a difference here. The Senate is at $2.1 million in fiscal year 24-25, the House at $2.3 million. And then again, in the tails, the same $200,000 difference. On line 43, the House and Senate have an identical position on growing clean economy apprenticeships at $3 million one time. on line 44 for helmets to hard hats. There is a small difference. The Senate has $450,000 in 2425, and the House has $456,000, and that difference carries forward into the tails. On line 45, here's where the House has the Career Pathways Program of $300,000 one time. That was earlier in an earlier division in the Senate. And then on line 46, this is Representative Burke's bill, apprenticeship preparation, and $800,000 in fiscal year 24-25 on the House side. So the total for this division from the Workforce Development Fund for the Senate is $8.2 million in fiscal year 24-25, and the House is at $9.6 million, and then for the tails, the Senate is at $5.3 million, and the House is at $5.5 million. The next division is the Workplace Safety Division, funded from the Workers' Compensation Fund. The first item is on line 50, maintain current service levels. House and Senate are identical at $720,000 in 24-25. And $966,000 in the tails. On line 51, there's MnOSHA regulation of ergonomic industries, and the House and Senate here again are identical at $1.6 million in 24-25, and then $2.7 million in the tails. On line 52, there's funding for the warehouse distribution worker safety program, identical at $206,000 in fiscal year 24-25 and $182,000 in the tails. We should note that on the House side, this language and funding is included both in this bill and moving separately, and I believe in the Senate it is moving separately. On line 53, you will see the House-only provision of $1.5 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $1.6 million for additional MnOSHA inspectors. And so the total for the Workplace Safety Division on line 54 for the Senate is $2.5 million in 24-25, and for the House, $4.1 million. In the tails, the Senate is at $3.8 million, and the House is at $5.4 million. Then finally, on line 55 within this division, there is a general fund item, additional funding for the MnOSHA regulation of ergonomic industries, and the Senate has $1.3 million, and the House has $2 million, and this is all one-time funding. And I'll turn it back for the General Support Division.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. For the General Support Division, on line 59, to maintain current service levels, this is coming from the Workers' Compensation Fund. It's the House and Senate are identical. It's $4.56 million in 24-25 biennium and $4,866,000 in the 26-27 biennium. On line 60 for the Technology Services Reorganization, this is coming from the Workers' Compensation Fund. Again, the House and Senate positions are identical. It's $1,233,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $1,268,000 in the 26-27 biennium. So for a total general support above base from the Workers' Compensation Fund of $5,793,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $6,134,000 in the tails for both the Senate and the House. Moving on to the Combative Sports Health and Safety, Combative Sports Division for Health and Safety Improvements. On line 64 from the general fund, on line 64 from the general fund, both the House and Senate are identical. It's $497,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $508,000 in the 26-27 biennium. From the special revenue fund, it's $30,000 in the 24-25 biennium and $30,000 in the tails. Again, the House and Senate are identical there. For construction code, dealing with construction codes in the construction code fund, on line 68 for the climate sub-cabinet, the Senate assumes a construction code cost of $100,000 in the 24-25 biennium, while the House assumes a cost of $146,000 from the construction code fund. And again, in the 26-27 biennium, the Senate assumes $100,000 and the House assumes $146,000. On line 69 for electric vehicle charging infrastructure, both the House and the Senate assume a one-time cost of $163,000 in fiscal year 24 from the Construction Code Fund. On line 70 for existing buildings energy efficiency, both the House and the Senate assume one-time cost of $406,000 in fiscal year 24 from the Construction Code Fund. On line 71 for safe housing for the elderly and vulnerable adults, both the House and the Senate assume cost of $429,000 from the Construction Code Fund in 24-25 biennium and $1,028,000 in the 26-27 biennium. So the House and the Senate are identical there. For window cleaning safety from the Construction Code Fund on line 72, it's $193,000 in fiscal year 24 for both the House and the Senate. And then on line 73, both the House and the Senate assume a one-time cost of $47,000 for the adult size changing facilities rulemaking. So for total changes in the spending from the Construction Code, for the Senate, it's $1,338,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and for the House position, it's $1,384,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and then in the tails, it's $1,128,000 in the for the Senate, and for the tails in the for the House, it's $1,174,000. And now I'll hand it back to Ms. Roberts to talk about other agencies.
Mr. Chair, members are coming to the last two agencies in the labor area. The first is the Bureau of Mediation Services. This is funded through the general fund, and you can see on line 77 the changes for maintaining current service levels. The House and Senate are identical at $1.4 million in 24-25 and $1.5 million in the tails. And then the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals has two change items beginning on line 81. From the Workers' Compensation Fund, the maintain current service levels, the House and Senate are identical, $480,000 in fiscal year 24-25, $560,000 in the tails. And then both the House and Senate have one-time funding of $100,000 for rulemaking. So the total change for the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals is $580,000 in 24-25 for both the House and Senate and $560,000 for the tails. And I'll keep going through the expenditure changes. On line 88, you'll see the general fund change. For the Senate, it's $6.4 million in fiscal year 24-25, and for the House, it's $6.6 million, and then the difference in the tails, the Senate has $4.9 million from the general fund in changes, and the House has $4.2 million. For the Workers' Compensation Fund on line 89, the Senate is at just over $16 million in fiscal year 24-25, and the House is at $17.6 million. And then in the tails, the Senate is at $18.2 million. From the Workers' Compensation Fund, and the House has $19.8 million in changes. And then for the Workforce Development Fund, the Senate has $10.4 million in fiscal year 24-25 total changes. The House is at $11.4 million. And in the tails, the Senate has $7.3 million in fiscal year 26-27, and the House is at $7.5 million. Moving on to line 91 for the construction code, the total changes are almost identical. The Senate has $1.338 million in fiscal year 24-25, and the House is at $1.384 million. In the tails, the Senate has $1.128 million, and the House is at $1.174 million. And then finally, from the special revenue fund, you can see the House and Senate are identical with $30,000 total changes. Moving down to revenues and transfers, the first changes on line 96, both the House and Senate have $36,000 in 2425 and $50,000 in the tails for prevailing wage, education, and compliance. On line 97, this is for the Safe and Skilled Workers Act, which is, again, is traveling separately for the Senate. There is a difference here in the revenues, and I will say that the Senate has the correct updated numbers, so that it should be $10,000 a year, I think is the correct tracking amount. And then on line 98, the Senate is showing $50,000 for safe workplaces for meat and poultry processing. This is related to the enforcement activities of the Attorney General. The House is not currently tracking that. And so you can see the total general fund changes in revenue. The Senate is at $96,000 in fiscal year 24-25, and the House is at $56,000. And then the Senate has $110,000 in revenue changes in the tails, and the House has $70,000. And I will finish with the non-general fund revenues and transfers. You can see that all of these are identical between the House and Senate. There is the change for the combative sports health and safety improvements on line 102 for $30,000. On line 103, Minosha federal maximum penalty conformity from the Workforce Development Fund of $251,000 in 24-25 and $261,000 in the tails. On line 104 from the Construction Codes Fund, both the House and Senate have $429,000 in revenue, and then in fiscal year 24-25 and just over $1 million in the tails for safe housing for the elderly and vulnerable adults. On line 105 is the revenue related to the Warehouse Distribution Worker Safety Act for the Workers' Compensation Fund. And again, it's $26,000 for both the House and Senate in both 24-25 and in the tails. And finally, small loss of revenue for the construction code and license fee reimbursements and reductions of $4,000 per year, both in 24-25 and in the tails. So the total change in non-general fund revenue on line 107 is $732,000 in 24-25 and $1.3 million in the tails.
And then just, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on line 119, the Public Employment Relations Board appropriation is traveling separately on the Senate side, and I believe it's also traveling separately on the House, but it's $1.5 million in the 24-25 biennium and $1.5 million in the 26-27 biennium. Those amounts are identical. And just to give the committee the information, the overall general fund target that the labor jurisdiction was given was $8 million in the 24-25 biennium and $6.5 million above the base in the 26-27 biennium. On line 123, you can see that the Senate is currently under that at $7.8 million, while the House's position met it at $8 million, and the tails additional general fund spending of $6.3 million in the 26-27 biennium for the Senate, and for the House, it's approximately $5,678,000 of net general fund spending. So both are below the target. So thank you.
Well, let me say thank you to staff, and thank you for walking us through the fiscal analysis. Let me pause for a second to see if anyone has any questions on the spreadsheet before we go to Ms. Doyle Fontaine and others to walk through the provisions. Any questions initially? I know it's a lot of information to digest, and I know that I'm going to, I've been looking at these, but I'm looking at it a little closer because I did see some things I didn't necessarily see before. So it proves a worthy exercise. Any questions? If not, I'll go to Ms. Doyle Fontaine and or whoever is going to walk us through any other the other provision.
Mr. Chair, Anna Shaleen will do the deed portion of the walkthrough.
Chair and members, Anna Shaleen, House Research. We're going to be looking at the side-by-side that is labeled on the Senate side. It's Article 5 deed policy. On the House side, it's Article 3 economic development policy. So if you can switch to that side by side, we will walk through the provisions. On,
I'm not seeing Article 3.
So Article 5, deed policy, Article 3, economic development policy. It's not the appropriations article. We just did all that. All right, so if you turn to page R1 of the side-by-side, this is Senate Section 1, House Section 1. These are the same language that create the Office of Child Care Community Partnerships to support child care businesses and increase child care accessibility. Page R2 of the side-by-side, Senate Section 2, House Section 7. These are different provisions. Both create the Office of New Americans and the Interdepartmental Coordinating Council on Immigrant and Refugee Affairs, but the two versions have different proposed coding and word similar concepts differently throughout. Page R5 of the side-by-side. This is Senate Sections 3 and 4, House Sections 2 and 3. This is the same language. It modifies the Energy Transition Advisory Committee's meeting schedule and expiration date. Page R5, House Section 2, this is House-only language. It establishes small business navigator positions to help small businesses navigate state programs. Page R6, House Section 3, this is House-only language that exempts financial assistance for detached single-family affordable homes in sites with less than 5 units from prevailing wage requirements. Side-by-side page R7, Senate Section 5, House Section 5. This is different language, both creating a codified replacement for the Business Development Competitive Grant Program. The Senate's language establishes a Small Business Assistance Partnerships Program to provide grants to local and regional community-based organizations for business development and technical assistance services. House calls the program the Small Business Partnership Program, and provides business development services to targeted businesses, those in greater Minnesota, the high-tech field, or owned by certain groups. Turning to page R10, Senate Section 6, this is Senate-only language. It establishes the Minnesota Expanding Opportunity Fund program to capitalize Minnesota nonprofit corporations to increase lending activities with small businesses. Page R11, Senate Sections 7 through 10 and House Sections 6 through 9. This is the same language. It makes changes to the Job Creation Fund to lower participation requirements, particularly for businesses in greater Minnesota, and raise awards for creating higher paid jobs. Page R16, Senate Section 11, House Sections 10 and 16. This is similar language codifying the Launch Minnesota grant program for startups and repealing the old session law version of the program. There are minor technical differences only. Staff recommends Senate Section 11 and House repealer language. Side by side, page R21, Senate Section 12. This is Senate-only language creating the Minnesota Forward Fund for the purpose of increasing state competitiveness to facilitate private investment through offering incentives to compete with other states for business retention, attract new industries, and meet matching requirements for federal funding, among other abilities of the fund. Side by side, pages R25 and R46, House Sections 11 and 16. This is House-only language that increases the maximum grant award for the targeted community capital project grants from $1.5 million to $3 million, and removes the applicability of capital project provisions in Chapter 16A. Side-by-side, page R25. This is House Section 12, House-only language that creates the Community Wealth Building Grant Program to make low-interest loans to community businesses. Page R28, Senate Sections 13 through 15, House Sections 8 through 11. These are similar language that make changes to youth build to allow participation by low-income rather than just very low-income people, that is 80% versus 50% of area and median income, and add types of structures that can be built, as well as updating the citation. The House includes one additional section conforming to this change to low-income, and staff recommends the House language. Page R29, Senate Section 16, House Section 12. This is different language, establishing both of them the targeted populations workforce grants to fund entrepreneurial and job training, diversity and inclusion training for small employers, and capacity building for workforce nonprofits. The House consolidates and clarifies definitions, includes exemptions for grants to private businesses, requires reports to the commissioner. The Senate, meanwhile, requires reports to the legislature. Page R32, Senate Sections 17 and 18, House Sections 13 and 14. This is the same language. It increases the Minnesota Youth Program's maximum participant age from 21 to 24. Page R33, Senate Section 19, House Section 15. This is the same language and updates the citation for the Youth at Work Program. Page R33, House Section 16, this is House only language, that adds seasonal or temporary foreign agricultural workers under H-2A visas to the definition of non-covered employment for UI. Page R36, House Section 17, this is House only language that requires an annual growth factor adjustment to the reimbursement rates for providers of extended employment services for persons with severe disabilities if funding is available. Page R36 and R41, this is House Sections 18 and 22, this is House only language that increases the portion of judicial filing fees directed to the Minnesota Family Resiliency Partnership for dislocated homemaker services. Page R38, Senate Sections 20 through 23, House Sections 19 through 21. This is different language that makes changes to the Destination Medical Center definitions and transit aid formulas. The Senate has an additional section on local matching contributions to transit aid. Page R42, Senate Section 24, House Section 23. This is the same language. It creates a grant program to reimburse employers for the cost of making reasonable accommodations for employees. Page R44, House Section 14, this is House-only language, creates the Empowering Enterprise Program to give grants for community relief efforts for areas affected by the civil unrest in 2020. Page R46, Senate Section 1, House Section 1, this is different language, both codifying the Getting to Work grant program to help provide, repair, and maintain vehicles that help people get to work. They do, however, have different schedules for reports to the legislature. Page R48, Senate Sections 2 through 4, House Sections 4 through 6. This is the same language that changes the Community Energy Transition Grants Program to allow communities around plants scheduled to expire within 15 years to qualify, to increase the grant limits and uses, and allow rolling applications and fund technical assistance. Page R50, Senate Section 5, House Section 13. This is different language, both establishing the Emerging Developer Fund Program. The Senate has deed make loans directly to emerging developers. The House makes grants to partner organizations to make both grants and loans to emerging developers. Additional technical differences as well. Page R53, Senate Section 6. This is Senate-only language that modifies provisions and applicable dates in the 2021 session law for the forgivable loan program for remote recreational businesses. Page R54, Senate Section 7, House Section 15. This is the same language, establishing the Canadian Border Counties Economic Relief Program to assist businesses harmed by the closure of the Canadian border and the Boundary Waters Canoe Area since 2020. Page R56, House Section 24. This is House-only language requiring the commissioner to engage with stakeholders and make a report to the legislature on the employment barriers faced by adults with mental illness. Page R56, House Section 25. This is House-only language that creates the Southwestern Minnesota Workforce Development Scholarship Pilot Program to fund scholarships in in-demand fields at Minnesota West colleges in exchange for an agreement to work for a local employer for 3 years. Finally, on page R59, House Sections 26, this is House-only language that requires the commissioner to recommend how the legislature should reduce fines and eliminate interest on misrepresentation overpayments of unemployment insurance. And now we will continue with Ms. Doyle-Fontaine.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you, Ms. Jolene. I will now go through the side-by-side that's marked, might say labor at the top, and also it is Article 10, labor policy on the Senate side, and Article 11, miscellaneous, on the House side, if everyone has that. Mr. Chair, I can begin when everyone finds that.
Ms. Fontaine.
So, Mr. Chair, members, I will begin with the labor side by side then. On page R1, Senate Section 1 and House Section 4, these sections are similar. They expand prevailing wage requirements and enforcement provisions for projects receiving state financial assistance for economic development. The changes between the House and Senate here are the differences are grammatical and word styling differences regarding the person receiving financial assistance, but I believe it's the same intent for both of these provisions. Then we have several provisions beginning on R1 that are relating to the creation of a division of apprenticeship separate from the division of labor standards and removing obsolete language. That is on pages R1, R2, R4, and R18. It's Senate sections 2 through 4, 6 through 8, 10, 11, and 31. And in the House, it's sections 1 through 6, 9, 10, and 30. And these sections are the same in both the House and Senate's side. Then on R2, we have a Senate-only provision. This is Senate Section 5. However, I would say that there are some House provisions that are also amending the same statute. So this particular section of law allows the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to issue compliance orders for additional purposes, including for agricultural and food processing workers and nursing home for compliance or for violations. And those add references to those particular statutory new programs or new regulation. And as I mentioned, this will appear in several other places throughout the side-by-side, and I can point that out as well. On R3, Senate Section 9, House Section 7, this is the same for both the House and Senate. This modifies the LEAP grant program to focus on retaining and recruiting BIPOC individuals and women in registered apprenticeship programs. On page R3, this is a House-only section, House Section 8. This requires the Department of Labor and Industry to prepare a veterans benefits and services poster for display by employers with 50 or more employees. On page R4, Senate sections 12 to 17 and House sections 11 to 16. This language is the same for both the House, the Senate and the House. These sections conform Minnesota OSHA penalties to federal law. On page R6, Senate Section 18, House Section 17. This is similar language, which establishes an ergonomics program under MnOSHA and requires all health care facilities and warehouse distribution centers or meatpacking sites with 100 or more employees to implement an ergonomics program meeting certain requirements. The difference here is that the House has a different effective date from the Senate. On R10, sections 19 to 20 for the Senate and sections 18 to 19 for the House. This is the same language for both. These provisions or these sections reduce construction codes and licensing reinstatement fees. On page R11 and R16, Senate sections 21 to 24 and 28, and then House sections 20 to 23 and 27. This is the same language for both. These sections create electric vehicle charging infrastructure requirements under the state building code. On page R12, Senate section 25, House section 24, again, the same language for both. This adds assisted living facilities to the definition of state licensed facility, which would require review of their building plans by the Department of Labor and Industry. Also on page R12, section 26 for the Senate, section 25 for the House. These sections are different. Both relate to the commercial energy codes or to the energy code within the building code. They require the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to consider and incrementally adopt model commercial energy codes to move toward an 80% or greater reduction in annual net energy consumption by 2036. The House contains some language in paragraph D of that section of law that's applicable to the residential energy code. The Senate does not have language within that paragraph. The language also in paragraph F clarifies that the change does not impact energy filed energy conservation and optimization plans. On page R14 and R18, Senate Sections 27 and 30, House Sections 26 and 29, we have similar language regarding requiring adult-sized changing facilities and adoption of national window cleaning standards within the state building code. The House has an effective date of the day following final enactment for both sections, which the Senate does not contain. And then on page R16, Senate Section 29, House Section 28, this is the same for both the House and Senate. This adds solar installation as special skills requiring licensure as a residential contractor, and which would then require participation in the contractor recovery fund. Then we have some similar policy articles, and we will first go to the agricultural and food processing workers. Let's see, that is Senate section Article 7, agriculture and food processing workers, and also Article 7, same title for the House. I'll take a moment while you locate that side by side. And I can begin. I for these articles that are similar or different, I'm not going to go through each provision. Instead, I'll just kind of give the general overview of what the article, what the subject is. So on R1, Senate Article 7, House Article 7, these are similar. I will explain the differences, however. This article changes the safety and labor standards for agricultural and food processing workers under the Migrant Labor Law, Packing House Worker Bill of Rights, and Recruitment in Food Processing Employment Laws. The Senate language includes language regarding reduction of damages in the civil action for fines payable to the aggrieved employee. So that's basically the only difference there. The House also does contain that section 1 on R1, that I mentioned earlier, that is the compliance order section for the Department of Labor and Industry, and just provides references to the statutes that are being amended within this article. The next article we will look at is the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board. That is Senate Article 8 and House Article 8. These are all also similar. I'll give you a moment to locate that if you haven't already. These articles establish the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board and require the board to adopt rules setting minimum employment standards for nursing home workers. They also include training, notice, and enforcement provisions within this article. The differences are that the Senate article includes an annual report to the legislature regarding actions taken and standards adopted by the board. And then the Senate also includes a reference to receivership as a consideration for a variance from the standards. And then there are other minor language and technical differences within the article. But other than what I mentioned, they're not major differences. The next article we will look at is Senate Article 9, House Article 10. This is for the combative sports articles. This article makes a variety of technical changes to the combative sports licensing system and fees. The House also reduces a number of fees and requires pre-fight pregnancy tests for female combatants that the Senate does not include within their article. The next article that we will look at is Senate Article 11, House Article 13. This is the Safe Workplaces for Meat and Poultry Workers Act. Again, this article creates the safe workplaces for meat and poultry workers, requiring various worker safety protections and at meat packing operations with 100 or more employees. The differences that I will point out are the Senate excludes government inspectors from the definition of meat processing worker, also excludes butcher shops and meat markets from the definition of meat packing operation, and the House has an effective date of November 1st, 23 for certain sections. There are other language and technical differences that are not major, but, you know, a few little differences between the side by side. For the dissimilar policy articles, we have, first, this is a Senate-only article. It's Senate Article 3. This is Explore Minnesota. This article modifies what's currently known as Explore Minnesota Tourism, and it will now be called Explore Minnesota. And then that will be the umbrella office overseeing the Explore Minnesota Tourism and Explore Minnesota for Business Divisions. This article also makes other modifications to the Explore Minnesota organization and functions. The next Senate-only article is Article 4. This is the Promise Act. This article establishes the Promise Grant Program and the Promise Loan Program to make grants to partner organizations for grants and loans to businesses and communities adversely affected by racial discrimination, civil unrest, lack of access to capital, loss of population, or an aging population, or lack of regional economic diversification. Senate Article 12 is another Senate-only article. This has two sections in this article, and the first section regulates sexual harassment or abuse settlements, and the second section prohibits covenants not to compete in employment agreements. And the last Senate-only article is Senate Article 13. This article deals with building and construction contracts. It modifies laws regarding terms contained within public and private building and construction agreements. Now we'll move to the House-only articles. We have House Article 5. This creates and funds a Capital Area Community Vitality Task Force and appropriates money for road projects within the Capital Area. The next House-only article is Article 9. This is the contents of Senate File 10. I'm not certain of the House file number. This is the Petroleum Safe and Skilled Worker at Petroleum Refineries article. This article requires at least a certain percent of employees of any contractor working at a petroleum refinery to have experience with a registered apprenticeship program in the applicable trade. It also establishes fines and compliance authority. The bills were passed by both bodies, and I believe the bill is currently still sitting in the Senate. However, it's also being carried here, so it has a couple of options to make it through the process. The next House-only article is Article 12. This is also contained in Senate File 303. This is Senator Kupek's bill. It was contained in the House omnibus bill. This makes changes to the Public Employment Relations Board, PERB, otherwise known as PERB. This changes some data access and other classification of data for the PERB. There's also funding, I believe, within this bill. So this language is being carried in at least in the House version and separately in the Senate. The next House-only article is Article 14. This is, again, being carried separately in the Senate. It was mentioned as the fiscal analyst did the walkthrough. This is Senate File 58, House File 36. This establishes worker safety requirements for warehouse distribution centers, including notice of any quotas. And finally, the last House-only article is Article 15. This sets up wage protections for construction workers when workers are not paid by subcontractors or contractors. This is being carried separately again in the Senate. It's Senate File 1988. I believe it's in the Finance Committee. And in the House, it's House File 1859. And that concludes the articles contained in Senate File 3035.
With that being said, any questions? I know we went through that pretty nicely, and you have a lot that you can do tonight to read up on all this interesting work. And I thank the staff again for just for their hard work and thoughtfulness. Any questions? All right. Well, everyone's pretty quiet today. Then let me just say that. Maybe because it's Monday. I don't know. It's lunch hour, too. I get it. So we pretty much, well, Before we leave, I know that Senator Gustafson joined us late, and Senator Gustafson, we had each person introduce themselves for what district they represent, so we certainly don't want to skip over you. So if you could introduce yourself, that would be great.
Sure. Hi, I am Senator Heather Gustafson. I apologize for walking in late. I am also on the Education Conference Committee, and our times just overlapped today, so I tried to split it in half. But I represent SD 36, which is primarily Vadnais Heights, White Bear Lake, and Lino Lakes area. So thank you.
With that being said, seeing there's nothing, no other questions or issues, we will be adjourned for today, and we will reconvene tomorrow morning at 8:30. And it would be in the hands of our worthy Representative Hassan or Representative Nelson, I think someone was talking about, for labor. But it would be up to Representative Hassan to figure that out. The committee is adjourned.